Welcome to the Crossaxe Method. This is Rob Noy, and I created this podcast to help the members of CrossFit Crossaxe better understand the principles behind CrossFit and how we implement those principles into our training and life every single day. Whether you train with us in the box or at home in your garage, I look forward to helping you get the most from your training and nutrition. We'll keep it fun and lighthearted, while giving you the best professional advice for success both in and out of the gym. Okay, welcome back. Crossaxe Method podcast number 6. We're recording this in the gym, so if we hear some weights banging and clanging or someone interrupts in the background, you'll know why. We'll try and filter out some of the ambient noise, but it's beneficial for me time-wise to do this here, and while Maddie's in the gym as well and we're not training. So, welcome back, Maddie. It's been a couple.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Excellent. All right, so today we're going to talk about progression and knowing how to progress through movements from essentially coming in as a novice, anywhere through beginners to an intermediate and also advanced athletes, knowing when to go from doing certain movements in training or in practice and then starting to incorporate those movements into our regular day-to-day workout. So, for example, say I've been practicing my pull-ups and I can get one or two. When do I know when to progress and throw those pull-ups into a workout versus I need more practice and for the workouts I stay in a band, for example. So I had no really plan for attacking this today, but let's, I know I'll throw it open to you, Maddie. We'll kick off with the pull-up and have a chat about when you think we should, you know, go from, you know, let's say I'm an athlete that I've come into the gym, totally new to CrossFit. I've been doing ring rows in workouts. Some workouts I'll use maybe a blue thick band, and then, but outside of class or whenever I've been practicing getting stronger and I've been doing some training with my pull-ups, and now I can do one strict pull-up and maybe 4 or 5 kipping pull-ups.
Yeah. With the workout, when we explain it, we always go over what we think you should do, how you break it up, all that sort of stuff. And if it's like a big workout with a big chunk of pull-ups, we'll probably be like, hey, let's go back into the band or into the rings and get big sets. We want big sets of 10 or more out at a time. Sometimes we're like, hey, let's go a little bit more challenging. We're only going to do 8 pull-ups at a time. Maybe break it into 2 sets of 4, make it a challenging set. In terms of bringing in your unassisted pull-ups for the first time into a workout, it might be, hey, let's do the first round unassisted. Next round, have the band there ready to go and jump in. You don't want to be... it's distracting in the background, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want to be sort of going there and doing one pull-up at a time and losing the intensity factor.
Yeah.
Ring rows are awesome because you can just adjust on the fly how hard you make the ring rows. You can,
yeah, by moving your feet in and out.
Moving feet in and out, yeah. If you want to make it challenging, walk in. If it's getting a bit tough, walk out. Keep the intensity going as you go through.
Yep.
One thing we
see all the time, Matty, is with ring rows, people think, oh, I'm getting bored. Ring rows are a beginner thing. Like, no, I should be doing advanced. You know, I should be moving through. I don't want to stay on the rings. Where I think there's a tremendous amount of value if done properly in those ring rows. Like they are brutal, and they can be valuable for not only just beginners but also for, you know, athletes that have been here that are RX workouts.
Yeah, yeah. Ring rows are, if you do a hard ring row, it's harder than a pull up.
Yeah,
way harder. If you had to do a set of 50, you'd probably choose pull ups. Yeah, like it's not a beginner movement. It's a strength based movement. It's how we get stronger.
Yeah, and I guess we use it for. We use it for scaling because it's easy to put into a workout. It's not easy to complete the movement, but it's easy to substitute in. We don't need to get in and out of a band. It strengthens the muscles that you're going to need in transitioning into doing full pull-ups anyway.
And a bonus is you've got torn up hands. Ring rows don't tear your hands up either.
Yep.
Which is always a good thing.
Cool.
Yeah, never underestimate ring rows.
Yeah, excellent. So, moving forward, away from, so that's one. That's sort of one movement. We've got a bucket load of those movements that we could talk about. Let's let's have a talk about, I get handstand push-ups is another one, right?
Yep.
I've got a bit of a, not a beef with it, I guess, but we just, one of the things with a handstand push-up is it can be dangerous. We can literally risk permanent disability or significant injury if we try and go into a handstand push-up too early. So kicking up into a handstand push-up and then lowering onto your head without having the strength to be able to control that descent is really dangerous. If you come crashing down onto your neck and you fold into the wall, you know, there is risk there if you're not trained to cause permanent disability, right? And I think the value of doing a handstand push-up is not warranted in terms of that response, if you know what I mean. The output versus the value of doing it, the risk is not there. The risk benefit is not there.
Yeah, so it's like if you are, we're in a controlled...
You keep talking.
Yeah, if we're in like a controlled environment and we are, you know, we've got a spotter with you, you're getting yourself kicked up into the... Rob's out there getting something up someone right now. If we're in a controlled environment, you've got a spotter kicking up to a handstand, they're helping you, you know, we're helping control you down and we're minimizing the risk, that's when we can start doing that. Not in a workout where you're tired, you know, your coordination might not be all there, you're fatigued, and that's when the mistakes happen. So there's a time to practice and do that skill work, and then there's a time to scale it back and just get a high intensity workout out and work the strength through the workout.
Yeah. Now we know lots of, firstly, thanks Jeanette for jumping off the front row right outside the room we're in, going down the back, apologies, but so a lot of the times we meet a bit of resistance with the athletes in terms of, well, I want to do handstand push-ups, and we end up with 1, 2, 3, 4 ab mats under our head, and the handstand push-up ends up looking like a very shallow lockout of the elbows, which isn't really providing us much benefit in terms of getting better at the movement. The other thing it does when you start stacking ab mats one on top of the other is it creates instability because they're a curved object. So when you're coming down on 2 or 3 ab mats, that increased risk of straining your neck or something like that is increased. So we really try and get to this position where we can do strong, strict dumbbell presses and even barbell presses to a certain extent, and improve the strength of the shoulder before we start trying to put our body at risk and going upside down for the press.
Yeah, I have that stacking up, one of my sort of, not a pet peeve, but I just really don't believe in it. We don't tell you to squat halfway down to get better at squats, so we shouldn't really take away our depth of our handstand push-up. And like you said, when you sort of start stacking them up and it's not a straight edge, you can slip off, do something to your neck as well.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And dumbbell press, that's how we get strong. It's like ring rows for the pull-ups, dumbbell press for the handstand. You want to get strong?
Yep.
Do dumbbell presses.
Yep,
If you think you are strong, just go heavier.
Yeah, that's right. Video.
It's like a ring row. You can always make it harder, no matter who you are.
And then again, we always come back to, you know, practices for outside the classes. Oh, sorry, not outside the classes, outside the conditioning piece of the workout. We don't want to be practicing movement while we're under that time pressure of trying to breathe hard and, you know, go fast.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing I want to talk about is Olympic weightlifting, and this is kind of something that I've made this mistake for sure, and every, you know, if you're a male aged over 18 and, you know, probably actually any age, you've made this mistake. It's more common for guys to do this than it is girls. But with our Olympic weightlifting, we really need to practice and promote good movement and train our body to move really well with loads up to around that 80%, and then use those heavier weights or, you know, on our one-off lifts or whatever, you know, whenever we're going for those, that's when we're trying to max out those sort of heavy weights. But even then, we really only want to hit those weights by moving well. So when we look at any time we do a snatch or a clean or a clean and jerk, more often than not, unless I'm super tough and critical and reminding of people in the classes, we'll see athletes go too heavy, especially guys, and we won't get a nice crisp block out. We won't be moving under the bar properly. We'll be rushing the bar off the floor and just missing these really critical positions that at the end of the day are going to give us more opportunity to go heavier than gaining more strength. So what we see more often than not is our strength, and this is particularly relevant for newer athletes, our strength far exceeds our technical capabilities with Olympic weightlifting. Now I'm talking snatch, clean and jerk, not back squat, deadlift, etc. So our snatch, clean and jerk are what we consider our Olympic lifts. The others are generally what we would consider power lifts. So with our Olympic lifts, we really want to practice and improve that good movement rather than try and use those lifts to get stronger.
Yeah, and that's all the variations as well. Your power, just a straight power clean, that's still an Olympic lift. We're not trying to, you know, sacrifice technique to get an extra kilo. Like, so anything that has clean or snatch in the name or jerk, that's an Olympic lift. So
yes,
need to make sure we're not confusing a power clean with a strength movement.
Yes, perfect.
It's a very common one.
So with those lifts, now there's going to be a time where your technique is less than ideal, you're going for a 1RM, you have been lifting for a while, you know, there's going to be, you know, elements to that where it's like, oh, I'm on that borderline. But in terms of percentage of times that we do that, it should be probably 5% of the time you're doing that. 95% of the time during your training, you're trying to lift the best you can, not lift the most you can.
Yeah, and like you are. We need to see how people do look when they lift heavy. That's a little part of it. And then you see that you're doing like something inefficiently, and then you fix it up. You go lighter, fix it up, and then another couple months down the track might be time to test again, see how you're going, and then you know you might still have something to work on. See how you lift, and then so it's not all about just maxing out day after day.
Yeah, and one of the key things I just picked up on what you said there, Matty, is a couple of months down the track, we test again. So when we're talking about timing of these things, we shouldn't be retesting our 1RMs every second week or every week or a time frame that's so close together. We really need to give ourselves a lot of opportunity and training in between each test to allow for improvement and seeing where that improvement comes in.
Yeah, and another mistake is we have a lot, at the moment in our program and extras, we have build to a heavy double or build to a heavy snatch. Heavy doesn't mean maxing out.
Yeah,
that's a big common mistake. Building to a heavy means we build up to something that is technically sound. Heavy as you can go while maintaining perfect technique.
What's going to alter that heavy for you on a given day? So let's talk about, and I know we've had training sessions like this ourselves where, and one comes to mind straight away, is it says build to a heavy 1RM snatch, for example, but that day you've done, you know, two other workouts or other strength pieces during the week and you're feeling a bit fatigued, that heavy, you know, say, what's your 1RM snatch, 112 or something, 110?
Oh, yeah. Don't have to talk about that, do we?
Slightly more than mine, but not too much. But let's
round up to 120.
Okay, yeah, we'll round up to 150. Let's say your 1RM's 150. Or no, in realistic terms though, you know, let's say your 1RM's 110, just for ease of calculation of percentages and numbers. Your 1RM's 110, some days you might hit, you know, 95 might feel like 110.
Yeah.
You know, and what do you do in that circumstance of, hey, I'm feeling rough as today, I'm building up to this 1RM snatch, you hit 95, you go for 100, you miss 100, how many cracks do you go at 100 before you go, you know what, this is feeling heavy, and then it's not happening, and then what do you do after that? So two things, how many attempts do you give yourself, I guess?
Yeah.
And then from there, what do you do after that? Because I'll talk about what I do after that.
So, like, usually you're building up, you know it's not feeling good. You know after, like, two lifts, you're like, man, this feels like, this empty bar feels like it's 40 kilos heavier.
Yep.
You keep going through, usually hoping that, you know, it's all in your head. It'll feel
better.
It'll feel better soon. Get to those weights where it's like, fuck, this is feeling crap. Like, this is way heavier than it usually is. Usually get to a weight, you'll probably fail. I usually go, oh, yeah, I've got this. I'll get it again. One, I'll either hit it and I'll be happy, or two, I'll miss it. If I miss it, usually my ego's still going, nah, you know, I got this, I'll do it one more time. And then whether I hit or miss from there, I always call it a day. Like, I'll go back down and just do a good set at half the weight, and then call it. I won't let myself fail more than three times as a top. So that's me just, you know, trying to, you know, sort of suppress, like, try to comfort myself, or, you know,
yep,
for my ego, I'll do three fails, or otherwise I'll try to call it and go back down lighter, because nothing worse than having a bad snatch day after,
yep,
having even one fail. You just, it doesn't feel that great compared to just cruising through and not failing at all. So
yeah, so
that's
a lot
usually
of,
how it goes.
Yeah, it's perfect. And now what I try and do and what I do is sometimes a very different thing. Same thing, if I'm building up and it's not feeling good, you know, some days it's like, oh, you know what, I'm going to be happy with this number today. When I get to that and hit it, if I make the lift, great. If I don't, and I feel like, some days I'll feel like, you know what, there's no way I'm getting this above my head today. Like, I'll do one attempt and it'll be just like, oh man, this is, no, I'm out. Or I'll know that technically I've done something wrong, and I actually feel like, oh no, I can make this lift, I just, you know, wasn't patient enough off the floor, or I didn't get full extension, or I pulled back at the top. One of those things, I'll feel like, hey, I've made an error in my movement and I'm going to be able to get this lift. And then I'll give it one or two more times. And then if it is a fatigue thing and I just haven't got the power that day, or I'm not concentrating hard enough, like you said, I won't drop it back to 50%, but I'll generally go back to, say, 60 or 70% and hit a couple at a moderate weight where they feel really good and call it a day there. If I'm going for a max, like a 1 RM, this is my all-time PR for my life, then I might battle through with it a little bit better if I'm feeling good on that day. But yeah, really trying not to miss lifts, and this is something I really had to step myself back with a couple of years ago and take more time to look at the session as a whole and go, you know what, one of my goals for today during this lifting session is to not miss any lifts. And have that as a goal rather than, say, an X amount of weight.
Yeah, like if you've ever done 30 minutes of snatching and haven't failed a single rep, you just feel good.
Yeah.
And like, it just improves your self-esteem and everything. Just,
yeah.
You don't even have to go heavy. It can be a light snatch session, but you finish, you've moved well, haven't failed a single rep, and you feel like you've worked out.
Yeah.
And you just feel on top of the world, so.
Yeah. So rounding up on our Olympic lifts, what I would say is, really don't be afraid to spend time at the lighter weights, because that's what's going to make you better faster. So essentially, when you're looking at your strength, say you can, you know, you might be able to deadlift 150 and you can overhead squat 80 and you can, you know, do a power clean that's, you know, 100, but your snatch is 60 kilos, then we know that your strength is far exceeding what you can snatch. So therefore, it must be a technical ability. So unless you're snatching close to what your overhead squat is in terms of strength, or you're cleaning close to what your front squat is in terms of strength, then generally speaking, there's a lot of area for improvement in terms of your technique, as opposed to trying to use those movements to get stronger. So we look at things like back squats, deadlifts, clean pulls, overhead squats, front squats, all of those things we can make ourselves stronger with, because they're less technical. So we try and max out our weight on our back squat, we lift heavier, we try and push. In saying that, there's still value in doing sets and volume at 80 to 85%. But we can push a little bit harder with those weights generally. That's what's going to make us stronger. And then when we're doing our Olympic lifts, we focus more on moving well and training your body to move well over and over again. Now, if you're at a position where you've trained for a while and you've ignored that and your habits are kind of bad, then it's time to really take the ego out of play, step back from it, and take, strip everything right back, and try and only do lifts with good movement and good mechanics.
Yeah, and just a really big one, if you want to move better, hook grip.
Yes.
It's a big one, guys. I think I've been into use a lot lately, but you actually can't lift efficiently without your hook grip on, because you'll pull early, you won't have the pull the shrug strength that you need, so hook grip is a start.
Yeah, and it's painful to start with.
Oh yeah, it sucks, but then before you know it, you're just doing it without even thinking.
Your hook grip in the trolley when you're going around Woolies, yeah, absolutely.
On the steering wheel, practicing the hook grip.
Yep, cool. All right, so next we'll talk about this RXD or as prescribed thing, right?
It's a big one.
It is a big one. We won't try and get bogged down too much in it. A lot of people shoot for becoming a RXD athlete, in quotes, in brackets. But we really want to emphasize that, one, it's a terrible goal. If you have that as a goal, you need to change it, simply because what you're doing is allowing someone else to control the outcome of that goal. So what I mean by that is, let's say I'm aiming to be an RXD athlete, I want to complete 90% of workouts as RX, I train at CrossFit Crossax, I then go to another gym, it then becomes a totally different goal, simply because of the variation in weight, reps, strength, type of programming, etc. Also, within our gym and our own variance on our programming, you might be able to RX every workout for a week, but then we can write a week that no one will RX, and so you're kind of leaving it in the hands of what we program, as in whether you feel good about yourself that week or whether you don't. And that's just you're really setting yourself up for failure. You know, we can program King Kong, which is super ridiculously heavy workout that, you know, apart from yourself, Maddie, probably no one in the gym can complete it. You know, I would need to hit so many 1RMs on that day to make that happen that, you know, I probably wouldn't get through it. Now, looking at that, the relevancy of it, you know, we have RX weights just to give some guidance, but more often than not, or more important, is the brief that we give the guys at the start of the class.
Yeah, and we always give you recommendations, hey, we need this unbroken. I know it's like sometimes a bit of a harsh reality to say, hey, we need it unbroken. People get their hearts, you know, crushed a little bit, because it's like, oh man, I can't do the RX weight unbroken. But like, I hate having to put weights on workouts, but it's just what CrossFit is. They have prescribed weights.
Yep.
But you could choose any workout, not have any weights, and you could explain it 5 different ways, and you could have 5 different weights people could choose. Like, Grace, 30 clean and jerks for time, to 60 kilos for men, 40 kilos for women, maybe a little bit more with when you add the pounds in there. But when we brief that, it's like, hey, we want this pretty much unbroken. It's a very fast workout.
Yeah.
Then we can say, hey, let's go heavy Grace, which is up to 100 kilos for guys. And it's like, hey, this is probably in single reps now. So same workout, completely different sort of breakdown of it. You choose 2 totally different weights, but it's still the same workout. Yeah. So,
And we're after a different stimulus there, right?
Yeah.
You know, we might be after 30 heavy reps, and we might be trying to get your strength endurance at that heavier end built up.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, the pure burn and grip failure.
The faster weights. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what workout, depending on how we explain it, could totally depend on what weight you do.
Absolutely.
So some workouts are light, and we say, hey, yeah, it's meant to be light, or sometimes they're heavy and we say we want it to be heavy. Sometimes the weights look heavy, but we want it to be light fast, so that's when we still need to scale it down. So
yeah, perfect.
The brief is, you really need to listen in and, you know, ask questions if you are unsure, because in the end it's just about how hard you work out and how fast you can do the workout. That's what we're sort of concerned about. We don't really care what weights you do, as long as you're working hard and moving well.
Yep. Now, I know for a fact some other gyms throughout the world don't even prescribe weights anymore.
I think that's an awesome idea too.
Yeah, and it's something that we might look at, you know, coming into the future. But at the moment, it is what it is. We'll continue with it in the short term. But don't be surprised if we do, in the future, you pop up and you go, well, hey, what's the prescribed weight? And we just say, you know what? The prescribed workout is this, and this is the stimulus we want. And I want you to pick a weight that is going to mean that you can go fast. So almost now with our weights, it's instead of a prescribed weight, it's almost like a max weight.
Yeah,
like you shouldn't go over this weight.
Yeah, or we might say, hey, it needs to be finished under this time.
Yeah.
So you choose a weight, you can do the workout this fast. Or you choose an option, it could be a scaling option. Like, we still have the pull-ups and scaling options and stuff like that. We wouldn't say, hey, you have to do a banded pull-up as the prescribed movement.
No, that's right.
It's just a pull-up, and you choose what type of pull-up you're going to do, whether it's a banded or a ringer or a jumping, same with what weight you choose.
Well, you know what, like people, that's what we do already.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like
gymnastics movements.
But there's this weird thing where it's like, hey, well, I can't, you know, the workout's Murph. I can't do 100 pull-ups in a row, or, you know, in 3 sets or 4 sets even. If I do 100 pull-ups, it's going to take me 20 minutes or 30 minutes, or maybe I can't even do that many. I just physically can't do it. So what I'm going to do is use a band, or I'm going to scale it back and do sets of 5, 10, 20 for my pull-up, push-up, squat, or however we want to go into that. That scaling, there seems to be less resistance in terms of doing that than there is doing Fran at 30 kilos instead of 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I guess it's just an ego thing.
Yeah, I don't know whether they just see it written on the board and...
Well, I guess also it's more accessible, like, I can do a thruster, and I can do a thruster at 40... So I'm going to try and do the workout at 40 versus, well, I can't even do a pull-up, so I'm going to use a band. Maybe that's part of it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
All right. So when we're looking at RX, we need to look at 3 things, right? We've got the weight, we've got the number of repetitions or the time, the volume. The number of repetitions or the volume of reps. And then the other thing that often gets missed is the time.
Yeah.
So
it's a big one.
Fran's a good one, right? 21:15:9. Thruster pull up. If we're taking, I would say anything over what, 7 minutes,
Whoa.
Even 5 minutes.
I'd like to go down to 5. To be honest,
I don't like saying 5 too much because I was around back in the day when Fran was tough and there was no kipping pull ups, no butterfly pull ups, I should say. There was only kipping pull ups, and Steve Armisen did it in 4 minutes, and no one ever thought anyone in the world would ever go faster. And yet now we just see, you know, in our gym alone, on a Fran day, people going sub 3, you know, a lot, which is great. It's incredible. So let's say 7 minutes, right? If you're taking longer than 7 minutes to do Fran, then I would say, hey, you know what? Maybe that's not actually as prescribed because we're automatically having to rest too much. We're taking too many big breaks in the workout. And you've either gone too heavy or chose a pull-up option that is too difficult for that amount of reps.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think we've touched on this before.
Yeah, I think
we've spoken
about it in
another podcast. Yeah, it sounds very familiar.
We're only 6 in and we're repeating ourselves.
you can use that with any workout. Like, we're talking about the prescribed factor. And Fran's just an easy one because most people know what Fran is.
Yep.
But it could be any workout. Like today's workout, we say, hey, you want to be around the 5 minute mark for the today's workouts.
Yes.
And we let you know, and we say, hey, like, you know, scale the weights down so you can pretty much do the workout unbroken.
Yep.
And people have done pretty well today. There's been a few that have made a few mistakes, but
yep.
that is to be expected. Some people do sort of choose their own weights and they learn from it, which is good.
Yeah, excellent. So I guess... Let's give everyone ways of progressing or advice on, right? How do, like I'm a newer athlete. What do I do? How do I get better? What do I know? Why do we give them? This is what we want from the workout. What are we trying to achieve from most conditioning, strength, lifting workouts, right? So either one of those. What's our main goal here, right? And with CrossFit,
to win.
Yeah.
No.
Your main goal.
Like, oh, it doesn't matter, any athlete, but if we're saying it to a very new athlete, because you guys are probably sick of us repeating ourselves to you, you know, when we're talking lifting, okay, we need to move well.
Yes.
Okay, like, we want you to get weight on there and lift, like, a heavy weight for that individual person. But once you're moving well, that's the big thing we talk about, is moving well, good movement, scaling the weight so you can move well, you know, listening to us. Might give you some little props and stuff, like ball under the butt for the squat, very common one, stuff like that to move well. Workouts, keep it light, move fast, and again, move well. Don't cut your squat short because you're trying to go fast. Still squat all the way down.
So what's the classic, right? I'll give you this question because I've had it in the past and you've probably had it, and it's a really classic sort of question of someone that's coming into CrossFit and they're like trying to figure it out and they're, you know, a bit of a hard hitter and they want to go hard, and it's like, well, Matty, do you want me to go heavy or do you want me to go fast? You know, like, or do you want me to move well or do you want me to go fast? Sorry, is probably the better one. Do you want me to move well? Do you want me to go fast or do you want me to move well or you want me to go heavy? What would you say?
Wait, move well?
Yeah.
Number one priority.
Yep.
We need to move well. If we're not moving well, we're just wasting our time. You know, we're going to end up hurting ourselves, for one, if it's, you know, it's the form is detrimental to our, like, perform, like, to our body.
Yep.
But then again, we don't want to be shortcutting reps either. Moving well doesn't just mean, like, good technique. It means, you know, you're locking out your overhead, you're hitting a full depth squat. You know, locking everything out.
Yep.
You do that, and then you do that as fast and heavy as you can.
Okay, so essentially your answer is the same as mine, and it's both. We want both.
Yeah.
We want you to move as fast as you can well. So,
and that's easy. It's like, you move well and move as fast as you can using that technique. It's a pretty easy, simple answer.
Exactly.
But people confuse it, I think, with a bit like, well, I'm trying to go flat out here.
Yeah,
but I can't do it when I'm doing that. Just do that as fast as you can.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So move well as fast as you can. So we want both, but we don't want to sacrifice one for the other. We don't want to go so fast that that our movement gets degraded, and we also don't want to move so slow and perfectly all the time. We don't want to be that perfect person that, I'm not going to go fast because I want to do things like 100% perfection. So I'm going to go so slow that I can do that. You know what I mean? So we still need to maintain that high intensity. We still want to move fast, but we got to move well as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like both. We want both. Now, in the beginning, your fast moving well is going to be a lot slower than what it is as you get better and better and better, and we improve those movement patterns, and that's essentially what it's about.
Yeah.
Training your body to move well over and over again. And then we increase the speed, right? Cool. Okay. Can you think of anything else we need to talk about with progression?
Probably just touching on the Olympic lifts again, because I know we have Olympic lifts and then we have workouts with Olympic lifting.
Yeah.
I know if it's a light workout, we usually say, hey, we're trying to cycle weights here. We're not going to try and move our feet out all that much. We still get you to move well. It's a light weight. You should be able to manipulate the bar where you need it to go, whether it's a snatch or a clean or a clean and jerk. But still need to be moving well, you know, using your legs to jump the bar up, and you're still punching underneath the barbell. We can't just be ripping it up off the ground because it's light, because then you'll do 50 reps there, all of a sudden we're doing a build to a heavy day, and you're doing the exact same thing because that's all you've practiced for the last week. So workouts still need to move well on the Olympic lifting side of things.
Yeah, exactly. Every time you cheat or skirt around good movement, you're training yourself to move poorly.
Yeah, and you're making it slower. You might think it's faster, but you're just slowing yourself down.
Yep. So, you know, the old saying, slow is smooth, smooth is fast, is pretty applicable to Olympic weightlifting. You know, we don't ever want to move slow in Olympic weightlifting because you can't do it correctly slowly. But that's, you know, just the generic sort of way we look at it. Awesome. So with a new athlete coming into the gym, what we recommend is we really want you to just take the time to learn the movements well and progress through. Ask for advice as much as you can. ask for, if pull-ups is a thing that's constantly troubled you and you want to get better, then ask us, hey, how do I improve my pull-ups? How do I go from not being able to do pull-ups to being able to do pull-ups in a workout? How do I go from not being able to do push-ups into doing, you know, handstand push-ups in a workout? And the fact of the matter is, it's going to also come back to how much time you have to dedicate to your training.
Yeah.
And how much you're willing to put into it or sacrifice to get that. Now, if you're GPP person, so, you know, just doing CrossFit for life to get better, you're doing one class a day, maybe 4 or 5 times a week, and, you know, you want to do handstand push-ups, but, you know, to be honest, you're not prepared to put in extra strength training or pressing training to get better at it, then, you know, you might not get there. And that's okay. But, yeah. You know, if you do really want to get there, then ask us for advice and we'll give you, you know, as much as we can in terms of extra work to make it happen.
Like, you will get there eventually.
Yeah, that's right.
I guarantee you will get stronger, faster, just doing
for
GPP.
Sure.
As long as you're, you know, your nutrition and all that is there as well. You can't just, you know, eat KFC each day and expect to get, you know, stronger.
What? Of course.
But just doing CrossFit, one workout a day, being healthy, you will get stronger and you will get those movements eventually.
That's right.
But if you want to get them, you know, in the next
six months, yep,
you need to practice.
Yeah. That's it. Excellent. So one other one you had there, Matty, was muscle-ups?
Yeah, muscle-up.
Yeah.
I would say if you can't confidently do 5 muscle-ups in a row, I would leave them out of workouts for the moment, because all you're going to do is slow yourself down, because you'll be doing failed reps or single reps, probably poor reps as well.
Yeah.
Bar muscle-up is a big one. We get a lot of the old chicken wings over the bar.
Yeah.
All you kind of do is replicate that when you're doing them when you're in practice. So you may as well just keep them as a party trick almost. You know, do them.
Hey, I can do it.
Yeah, like just do some sets, or, you know, just do them before class in your own time, and then scale the workout, because we don't want you moving poorly in the workout. And muscle ups, you're just going to do heaps of bad reps and you're never going to get better. You're going to hit a plateau and you're just going to be there doing 3 at a time. You can't do any more than 3, and they look the exact same all the time. So,
yeah, like, and we've seen it over the years, right? People get a muscle up and then shit, we're like, I tick that box, and then, you know, I might go, yeah, I've done a muscle up, and the next week you might do another one, or you might fail a couple, and then in 2 years' time, you've still only done the one muscle
up.
And we've never gone from 1 muscle up to 5 muscle ups to 10 muscle ups, and you wouldn't, and the way to do that is not by just trying to do muscle ups. And the best example I can give this of, to give you guys is, let's say, for example, I want to snatch 100 kilos. That's my goal. I come into the gym, I've got a 60 kilo snatch, I want to snatch 100, and I've also got one muscle up and I want to be able to do 10. Even if we gave you absolutely zero advice on trying to snatch 100 kilos, you're not going to put 100 kilos on the bar, set up in a snatch, and just try and throw it over your head. No one would do that sanely to make that happen. Yet we've got this ability to do a muscle up. One, most people, to try and get better at muscle ups, will just keep trying to do muscle ups.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're unsure of, okay, well, tell me how to get better, Rob, how do I go from doing one muscle up to doing 5, we would need to see that muscle up, and then we can help you with it. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be pulling strength or dip strength, along then with tightening up your technique. So there's always room for improvement in technique. You know, even myself, with my muscle ups, if I'm concentrating, I'm keeping a far tighter midline, I'm doing them more efficiently, I'm moving faster. Going back to someone that's got one muscle up, we need to figure out what's holding you back. And a lot of the times it's going to be that pulling and pressing strength. And then after that, the transition and keeping technique.
Like sometimes you might have just muscled yourself up there and then it's like...
You had a good day.
Yeah. You just were on all cylinders that day. Then, you know, we won't be able to hit them when you aren't feeling 100%. And that's where you It's just like a lift. Technique comes into play.
And now I've seen heaps of people's heart break as I tell them, I don't want you to do muscle ups unless you can do it, unless you can do a strict muscle up.
It is a hard conversation.
Yeah, it's like, well, hey, hang on, I can do this muscle up, and then, you know, if you can do a strict muscle up, then I guarantee you that keeping muscle up is going to be one far safer. But you're going to start linking those reps together really, really quickly. If you've got a really good strict muscle up, and that's what I would advise everyone to work towards. And even and that's the same for a pull up. It's the same for a strict press into a handstand push up, for a ring dip into multiple ring dips. All of those things. If you can do the strict version first, that's the way to go.
Yeah, 100%.
Build up to that strict version. Try and then do multiple reps at that strict version. And then from there, we can broaden out into the kipping. Because one thing we see, if you're not ready to catch, especially in the muscle up, if you're not ready to catch that bottom position of the dip, you haven't got the shoulder stability or the strength to hold it, then we get the old chest through the rings, rip the shoulder out of joint kind of action. And then, you know, you're out of action for possibly, you know, it might not hurt at all, but it could mean a shoulder recon. You know, so you know, it's again, the risk versus the benefit is not there. Let's get those strict movements done first. Apply yourself, gain some strength, move really well through the strict movements. And if you want a program, you know, we've got them.
Yeah.
You just come and ask, say, hey, I want to get a muscle up. Tell me how to do it. And we'll give you a program to do it. And you might need to do that program 3 or 4 times, building in strength over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Before it becomes super easy.
And just... please come see us if you do want help like that.
Yeah.
We give programs out all the time.
Yeah, it's not extra cost. It's just like, hey, you know, if you feel like you need coaching on technique, specific coaching, yeah, we can sit down and do some PT with you and help improve your technique. But if it's just like, hey, I just don't know what to do and how much of it to do, then, you know, ask us. We'll more than gladly give you that stuff free of charge. We've written it 1,000,000 times, and we've got a lot of information there for you. Cool. I think that's about it. Hopefully that's answered some questions. I think it was Wes shot us through an email quite some time ago. Sorry for the delay, Wes, in getting back to you. That's about it. So have you got anything else, Ben?
Nah, I've got all my notes crossed off.
Excellent. Got a axe to grind, mate?
Oh, do I ever?
Yes. All right.
Oh, actually, I thought about one, but...
yeah.
Oh, what's happened in my life recently?
Do you want me to give you one while I think about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got an axe to grind with public pools. Right? I am not a great swimmer. So, but I enjoy, you know, going for a swim and getting my training in. It's still training. I still enjoy moving. But there's this weird... there's weirdos at public pools. And I'm not like this person that... I'm not judging people. And before I go any further, I'm not talking about, you know, the unfortunate guys that are using water for rehab and for different things where, you know... they've got different challenges or diseases or ailments in their life. They're not the guys I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the dudes that you walk into the change rooms and they're just standing there naked, facing out, drying themselves like they're putting on some kind of show. There's always like some crusty old dudes in there just wandering around naked. Like, and then, so I go there the other week before, going to the change rooms. This is at Combsy, I don't know if you've been there. But there's, you know, showers in the guys' rooms. They've all got doors on them, right? All the showers have doors on them. So this dude just in the middle shower where you like walk straight in facing it, just hanging out, having a shower, doors wide open. I'm like, dude, I don't need to see that. And then I go and jump in the pool and I'm like waiting for you know, this guy, because you share lanes. So if you haven't done much swimming, you split a lane in two and you sort of go around in a little loop so you can get more people in the one lane sharing the lane. So I'm waiting just to get talk to this guy and say, hey mate, do you mind if I jump in with your lane? So beside that lane there's like this Nut again, older gentleman, who's been doing laps, and is like just one finger on a nostril, blowing his nose into the pool. What the hell? I'm like, I'm literally about to jump into your snot. I'm like, man. And I'm just going, what is it? I'm like, I don't need excuses or reasons not to go to a public pool and swim. But, yeah, I don't know. And that's my extra grind.
So it's the older blokes.
Well, it seems to be. Yeah. Seems to be older gentlemen that for some reason don't give a shit. And whether, ladies, you might be able to tell me that it happens with, you know, females or older girls as well. I don't know, obviously, because I'm, you know, not seeing that side of it, but... Yeah, there's just weird people. There's weird people at the pool every time I go there, and I don't know why. But anyway, that's my extra grind. And when you go to the pool, stay safe. Don't drink the water. Keep your mouth shut. You never know what's going on.
Well, I definitely pee when I swim. That is a given. Like, 100%.
But I was swimming when I was young.
I'm not in the pool long enough.
When I was a kid, we always used to swim, and it's like, you're not getting out of that pool for a piss. Like, that's not the rules. You just do it in the pool.
Don't they? What happened to that rumour where they have, like, special dye in the pool that if you piss, it changes colour and follows you around? Do you ever get told that rumour?
Like, you see it in the movies.
I wish that was a thing.
I think it is just a...
Man, I'm not sharing lanes with you again.
Just swim behind me. Have your mouth open.
Oh, that's terrible. Righto, moving on from that. What's yours?
Oh, like, honestly, I've actually, since the last podcast I did, I don't think I've really been that pissed off or...
Yeah.
And nothing's really sparked it like that. Hey,
yeah, nothing.
Like, no, like, you get the odd, like, people that just can't, you know, that just annoy me when they drive. They're doing bloody...
Oh, yeah. There's always a good driving one.
Oh, yeah, it's... You know, I can't stand people that don't drive the speed limit. And then it makes me speed. No, I get caught speeding.
Yeah.
I try to go around, you know. But no, I don't really have an axe to grind. I've had a pretty mellow last few months.
Perfect.
So I'll let everyone off the hook this week. But
cool.
I'll definitely try to snoop some stuff out for next time.
All right. Things coming up.
Semper.
Big one. Semper. Yeah, right. So I think... A few people are slightly unaware of what is going to happen here when we do Semper. Just because I've had a few people ask myself, oh, are you going to be competing? Are you jumping in a team? And this is... Semper's going to be slightly bigger than our normal sort of team events that we have on a weekend. Now, I don't say that to discourage anyone from entering because we have the Beginners Intermediate Masters... and the RX category. So we want everyone to register, but it is a massive event. The car park upstairs will be full. It'll be multiple locations within the area. You know, it's going to be massive. So we want you guys to jump in a team because you're going to have so much fun. You're going to be challenged in ways that you haven't been yet in the gym. Two, we want as many judges and volunteers as we can possibly get. Now, I keep posting the link for registration. Now, that link is also to register as a judge, or the other one I've got written there is logs, which means logistics. And so I want you to either sign up if you think, like, yeah, I'm happy to judge a team. We will give all the judges a breakdown of the workouts beforehand, the movement standards. You know, it's going to be very full-on, but you'll be under no disillusion as to... or no doubt, I should say, as to what is expected of the athletes. Now, if you can volunteer some time on the weekend, whether that's a half a day, all weekend, that would be amazing. If you could just put your name down under the logs category and register as that, so that way when I shoot out an email with information, you'll definitely get that, and I'm not sending it to people that don't want to know about it. And, I think get involved. It's going to be big.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Like, I've been here for a couple of them before, and they're just it's pretty bit of a wow factor when you come in. There's like hundreds of people going around working out.
Yeah.
It's really good atmosphere.
Yeah, it's just going to be a bucket of fun. And I guess one of the main reasons for running it that convinced me to put it back on again is I would really like to upgrade some more of the equipment in the gym. So we're trying to fundraise, or not really fundraise, but through running the competition, a lot of those dollars obviously go back into the gym, and that's where we sort of reward, I guess, the judges and the volunteers. If you get involved, and even the teams for jumping in and competing, you'll see the benefits of it, not only for the growth of the weekend and the fun of it all, but our way of saying thank you is, you know, you'll see some new equipment pop up in the gym and things like that that we wouldn't have been able to sort of get our hands on otherwise.
Yeah. Let them transfer into the workouts because we can introduce more stuff into our workouts. So.
Exactly. Excellent. All right, Matty, thanks for that. Sorry it's been a bit of a delay, guys. Hopefully this one will come across pretty well and I won't need to edit the noise out that much because I'm not the best at doing that. And if it sounds okay, we'll hopefully be able to get a bit of a roll on and punch these out a little bit more regularly for you. Again, please give us feedback, send an email, rate it on iTunes, all of those things for us so we can make it better. Cheers, Matty.
See you later, guys.
Bye.